So let's actually go ahead and talk about what it is that we're sharing awesome in addition to the news. At Pure Imagination, there was actually a great session that our guest today, which I'll let him introduce himself in a second, where we talked about Windows 8 and Windows Phone and how you can actually build applications that work across both, but more importantly, not how you do it, but some of the things that you want to take into account when doing that. So there's some architectural things that you want to think about. There's also some feature things in Visual Studio that you want to think about. And more importantly, there are, we'll call it native experiences that you want to think about. So there's a great session on Pure Imagination, but what I thought I would do is I actually invited Eleanor to join us here and basically give you the lowdown, give you the shortened version, give you some things to think about, and also give you the opportunity to ask him questions in terms of kind of wrapping your head around this new paradigm of development. So with that, I will I'll hand it over to him, and we'll go from there. Eleanor, they are all yours, man.
Awesome. All right, hey guys, thanks for joining. So a quick intro of who I am and why I'm here, basically. So I've been at Microsoft for just under 5 years now. I started off as a developer in Redmond, working on the Microsoft web platform. I then transitioned to be a PM on Silverlight, that great web technology you probably know and love. And then I transitioned from that to be a PM on XAML for Windows 8. So using XAML to build Windows Store applications. So this talk is really all about patterns and practices. There's some theory. I want to kind of mix in some slides, mix in some demos, and also start with like a real-world example to kind of show you that, you know what, it's not just theory. You can really use these patterns and practices in a real-life production application that some of actually the top brands in Canada are using. So my role in Microsoft Canada, obviously I switched from Corp to Canada, is a technical evangelist. I work with some of the top brands in Canada, kind of helping them to leverage Microsoft technology, in this case Windows 8 or Windows Phone 8, to reach their business goals. So with that, I kind of have laid out a couple discussion topics I want to kind of go over in this talk. Again, before I get there, you know, I think I'll start with the real world example to kind of show you that what we're going to talk about today can be used today, right now, and people and big brands are using it to a great effect. So if you want to switch over to the screen, JR, I'm just going to fire up two applications, the same application, one on Windows 8 and one on Windows Phone. Okay. So this is a Huffington Post application created by a company here in Toronto called Halogen. And they essentially have created a great application for Windows 8 where you're able to kind of do all the good things that Windows 8 Store app has, dive into content, semantic zoom, you know, use the charms and whatnot. And they've also been able to reuse this code base and create a Windows Phone application using essentially the same code base. Obviously, there is some net new code they've had to use, but they've been able to use quite a good chunk. So I'm going to switch to Visual Studio here because I actually have the source of their application since it's not public just yet. But they've allowed me to share it with you. And so we're going to see a very similar application load up here. Now, of course, the UI is a little bit different, and that makes sense. You know, we're targeting a different form factor, a phone versus a tablet. You have less screen real estate. You have different UI affordances. But you can see here that, really, we've got the same type of user experience. You can go through categories. You can dive into articles. You still have the ability to kind of change settings and share and whatnot. So what Halogen did is I worked with them early on to really kind of architect their code using some of these best patterns and practices. And what we got was really a great number to kind of share, and they actually just wrote 17 or 18% net new code to get a Windows Phone 8 application running using their Windows 8 code base. So that's kind of what I'm here to talk about and kind of share with you today. So let me switch back here. So the discussion points is really to kind of share with you the motivations and benefits of why you want to do this. I think it's kind of self-explanatory, but, you know, it's important to kind of go over that. And also talk about an API convergent story. And that's an important story that you'll need to kind of understand some of the inner workings and why some of these patterns and practices are required. And then we'll actually get into the real patterns and practices using MVVM, which is Model View Model, and something called PCL, the Portable Class Libraries, to basically reuse your code. So with that, let's kind of go over the motivations and benefits. Now, you're a developer, you know, you write code, you have bugs, you fix code. You don't really want to have to maintain two different source trees. You don't have to maintain two different projects. You don't have to make a change in one app and then have to run to the other app and make the same change and publish them both and whatnot. It kind of gets to be a little annoying. And also, it fractures your code. You have something called code smell, basically, code rot. And so really what we're trying to do here is, you know, we want to increase your time to development, right? Decrease your time for development, right? So that's what we can do with using these patterns and practices. What we get is a great story, a great best practice where you're able to reuse code, write once, and share it, basically. And so the real advantage here is that it saves you time. It can potentially save you money. It can save your customers money. And really, that means more time you get to spend with your friends and family, or more time you get to do with doing other things, your hobbies, whatever you like to enjoy, right? So that's the core motivation and the core benefit, is that it saves time, and it also just helps you with your app development. So the next thing is really talking about API convergence. And again, you know, a lot of this talk is going to really focus around Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8 and using XAML and C# to kind of leverage your code base and reuse your code. So starting off with, are we on the slides? Yeah, okay, perfect. So starting off with the Windows Phone API, I want to take you back in time just a little bit to Windows Phone 7 when we first released Windows Phone 7. Creating an app on Windows Phone 7, you basically use something called Silverlight for Windows Phone. And that allowed you to use a set of .NET APIs and XAML as a UI front end. Moving into Windows Phone 8, you still have that same set of .NET APIs using either C# or VB, but this time we've introduced something called the Windows Phone Runtime. And this is a set of APIs that you can leverage that kind of are similar or very common, in fact, to the Windows 8 runtime APIs. So just to go a step back, actually, when you're building a Windows Store application for Windows 8, you're actually using a set of APIs called the Windows Runtime APIs. And that's really the best of breed APIs that we at Microsoft have in terms of the graphic stack, networking, input, giving you easy access to things like geolocation, accelerometers, all the kind of the proximity devices, and also, you know, things like cameras and all that goodness. So you have a set of APIs that are very similar on the Windows Phone runtime that you can leverage. And then for completeness, we've got both the DirectX stack and C++ that you can use as well on Windows Phone 8. So that's kind of the story for Windows Phone 8. The big difference here from Windows Phone 7 is that you have the Windows Phone runtime that we'll be talking about more in this talk. So this next slide is really just a quick summation of kind of what you have available to you. On the left, you have all the C# and VB APIs, the .NET APIs that you can use, depending on your language choice. So things like being able to do live tiles and the calendar or multitasking. In the center, you've got those Windows Phone runtime APIs I was talking about. So again, this is things like getting easy access to the camera, the video, proximity, being able to do VoIP. And then you've got your C++ APIs and DirectX APIs for your great games and your gaming stuff. So the key message here is that we're on a path to convergence. When you build an app using the Windows runtime for a Windows Store application, you will have some of the same APIs available to you when you build a Windows Phone 8 application using the Windows Phone runtime. Tricks me up sometimes saying that. So again, just to make that clear, and this Venn diagram shows that, the Windows runtime has a ton of APIs that you can leverage, and the Windows Phone runtime has a bunch of APIs you can leverage. There's only a subset of those that you can leverage across both the Windows runtime and the Windows Phone runtime. And so that's an important point that I want to just keep in the back of your head right now, because we're going to come back to that on how that kind of causes problems when you're trying to share code and how you work around that. So again, I'll just go through this. The set of APIs that you can actually reuse across the Windows Phone runtime and the Windows runtime are things like proximity, your local file system, location, and threading, things like that. So with that, we want to talk about really what is MVVM and how are we going to use MVVM to kind of help port code, help reuse code. And so MVVM is really a architectural pattern. It was created by John Gosman, one of my peers when I was back in Redmond. And he basically derived it from MVC, which is a common pattern, model view controller. Really, it has three pieces. It has the model, the view model, and the view. And I'm going to kind of show you what those are in code and kind of describe to you their purpose and how they kind of interact and work together. Now, MVVM is really something that was created for XAML because of the powerful binding features that it has available to it in C#. And so I'll show you a little bit of the binding syntax and the examples, but I won't go too deep because binding itself is extremely powerful in XAML, extremely full-featured, and there's tons of things you can do. And it would be a whole session that you can actually just spend just on that. And there actually was a whole session at Build when we first released Windows 8 to the world. So I'm going to dive in and kind of show you in code and also kind of describe to you what each of the players are in this MVVM pattern. So I've got a sample here, a simple kind of Windows 8 application. And you'll see that I've got one solution that has three projects, the model, the view model, and then this W8 project, which is really my view. So I'm going to run the application. Now, this is a very simple application to kind of convey the point. Essentially, what it's doing is pulling down some titles from Netflix. And this is my Windows 8 application, so I can scroll through, and it's asynchronously loading those titles. Okay? So I know it's not the sexiest application, but hopefully it helps us with kind of get the point across. So that's the application. Pretty straightforward. But let's actually look at the pieces here. So let's start off with the model. Okay, your model is essentially what you use to represent your business data, or it can be a web service, a file system. It could be any number of things that really it's the core data that you want to show in your UI to the user. So in this example, since I'm pulling information from Netflix, I'm issuing basically a query to Netflix. I get back a JSON string of a title. You know, that's the object notation of a title. And what I've got here is a class that defines that JSON object, so I can basically stuff it into an object. So you see here that I've got a data contract, some data members that describe the name, the average rating, the box art, and box art is actually its own object. And so that's my second class here. So I've got the small URL, and basically it's a bunch of URLs to title art, to some images that I'm showing in the view. And that's really all the model is. It's really just a representation of your data. The view model is a bit more interesting. The view model is a specialization off that model, and I'll show you what I mean by that in a second. But really, it's kind of that layer in between, almost the glue that binds the model and the view together. It's really how you surface your data and how you surface changes to your view and what your view will communicate with. The advantage of using MVVM is really you get to decouple your data from your UI. And you can see that here in that the view model is responsible for kind of taking care of all the changes, all the updates, all those CRUD operations. And the view is kind of left by itself. Now, of course, this is great because it means that if you make a change in your model, you don't necessarily have to make code changes in your view. Or if, let's say, you have a designer working on your team and they want to update the UI of the application and what it looks like and what it feels like, you don't have to be worried about them changing IDs of controls and things like that, because it's all going to be data bound. And so it really allows you to kind of have a parallel stream of work here. So speaking of the view model, we'll kind of dive into this a little bit. Really, again, I've got this class called the title view model. It's basically going to expose an observable collection of titles. And it's basically showing, it's really exposing a list of something called title art, which I'll get to in a second. When I create the view model, I just call this method called getTitles. It goes and makes a query that I'll get into a little bit later, and then loads those titles into my list or my observable collection. So I mentioned that the view model is really a specialization of the model. So what do I mean by that? Well, you saw my application. It's pretty simple, very straightforward, and essentially it really just shows the box art. So my view model is that simple as well. All I've got here is a class called TitleArt, and the only thing I expose is the box art. And if we go back to the view model, you'll see here that all I do is I just create When I get back the list of titles from my fetch operation, I basically just take the boxart large URL and throw that into my own class and expose that as the boxart. So all that ID, all the average rating, all that year release stuff, I don't need any of that, so I don't surface that in my view model. So my view model is clean, it only has the data that I need. So that's two pieces, that's the model and the view model. But now how do we actually get this into the view? So of course the view is your UI. I kind of mentioned that a few times, and I'm sure you kind of guessed that. And I'll show you the view, it's pretty straightforward, but we're using a grid view, which is a Windows 8 control. And I've got this binding syntax right here. So I'm basically saying, hey, grid view, your item source, or what you're going to be binding to, is the titles property. Okay? And remember, the titles property comes from our view model. It's right here. And then I've got an item template, which is just our simple syntax. And basically it says, hey, for every item, I want it to be an image. That image should be binding the image source to the box art property. So now you see we've got dot notation. Because I have an object, I have a list of titles, and each one of those is a title art, again, which is an object, right? So I'm actually being able to dot notate into this object. And again, that's some of the power of the XAML binding. And again, plenty of information online and other talks on that. But that's basically it. So what I've done here is I've said, hey, I've created a grid view, I'm pointing it at titles, and each image is pointing at a box art. And that's my view. And the goal here is really to keep the view code-free. So if we looked at the code behind, the only code I have here is creating a new title view model and setting a data context. Now, data context is basically saying, hey, for this page or for this view, this is the view model you're going to use. This is the object you're going to use. Now, if I had multiple grid views on my page, let's say I had, you know, here I've got some random titles, but if I had new releases or my queue or whatever, I could have multiple grid views binding to different item sources. But all those item sources would still be coming from my one view model, right? I would just be going to my title view model, creating some new properties, some basically just duplicating this code multiple times over and exposing different properties. So that's kind of the MVVM pattern in a nutshell and at a very high level. It really allows you to keep the data out of the view, and you leverage something called the view model, kind of expose that data to the view and take care of all your CRUD operations. So with that, you might be thinking, all right, yeah, I kind of see how this is going to work to help me reuse code. I'm able to maybe reuse my model and reuse my view model for another Windows Store application. I could just change my front end, but I could potentially just be targeting a different data source or whatever it may be, and I can reuse code. And you'd be absolutely correct. That's the right way of doing it. You'd be able to switch out your view or reuse your model, reuse parts of your view model, and kind of get that code reuse. But we're here to talk about how you share code across platforms, specifically Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8. And MVVM by itself, unfortunately, is just not enough. So we need something else. And that something else is called the portable class library. So I've got a quick image here that I'll show you guys. Oops. I think that function is on. Okay. So we've got something called a portable class library. Essentially what this is you go into Visual Studio, you say create new portable class library, and it's going to prompt you with this dialog saying, hey, select your target frameworks. And you're going to select, well, in my case, I selected .NET, Windows Phone 8, and .NET for Windows Store apps. And so now I've got a project that allows me to write code that can be run on those platforms. So really the Windows Phone and also the Windows 8. Now, we actually have a partner and a customer called 2TV in Montreal, and the partner is Run at Server, and they've been able to use these same patterns and practices to create a three-screen solution by porting their code across both the phone, Windows 8, and the Xbox. So you see here in this slide, Xbox is an option. So you can check that, and now your code will be basically targeting all three platforms. So how does this work? Well, essentially, what you're doing is you're creating an assembly that only calls the APIs that are available on those platforms. So it's a subset. right? You're not able to call APIs that aren't available on the phone or on the Xbox. It has to be available on all three platforms or any number of platforms that you check. Now, the PCL can be used for things like Silverlight, WPF. It's been around for a while, but really you can now kind of leverage this power for Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8 to kind of share your code across platform and get that same experience. So when you combine MVVM and PCL, now you've got a complete story. Because now what you've got is the right architectural pattern to separate your code in the model, view model, and view, and then you have the power now of the PCL to leverage that code across multiple platforms, in this case, Windows 8 and the Windows Phone. So I've got another sample here that I'm going to show you that does exactly that. So let me jump down here. Where are we at? Portable code. Okay. So I'm going to run it just as, you know, proof that it does work and you are able to share. That's not good. Let me stop the debugging session on this guy. I'll close that down. All right. Try this again. Okay. So proof that these patterns and practices do work. And you see here, again, a very simple app. It's the theme. But again, I've got an application that I can scroll through the cover art that I've got from a Netflix. I'm getting from Netflix, basically, through a query. Okay? So let me go ahead and stop that. So you'll see, again, in the solution here, I've got a few more projects, but we've still got a model. We've still got a view model. And I still have that W8 application. So essentially, I've got, you know, some of the same players, but we've got a Windows Phone 8 application now as well. And a couple of things called services, a phone service and a store app service. So in this demo, what I've basically done is I've reused the model, and I've tweaked my view model just a little bit to allow me to reuse code across platform. So let's take a look at this. The model, which I showed you before, is essentially the exact same thing. And I'll pull up the old project here, and you'll see, let me just close some of these down, that I've got box art, the title, and the response wrapper, which is essentially just what I'm doing to play with the JSON that comes back. And in the other project, I've got the exact same thing. The box art, the title, and the response wrapper. So this is the exact same project. There's no differences here. In the view model, I have made a few differences. And I want to explain kind of what's going on here. So we talked about, if you kind of now dial back to the API convergence story, where, you know, we're on a path to convergence, but we don't have that convergence yet. I mentioned that, you know, there are a bunch of APIs in the Windows 8, on the Windows runtime that aren't available in the Windows Phone runtime. So what happens when I want to use an API that's in Windows 8, but it's not in Windows Phone 8? Does it mean I can't use that API? Then that's not really a great portability story because my app is significantly handicapped. How do I get around that? How do you kind of get around that wrench that's been thrown into the problem? Well, that wrench rears its head in this sample because when I'm making a query to Netflix, in Windows 8, you use the HTTP client, I believe that's what it's called, HTTP client API. Let me just double check that's what it's called. Store service here. Right, HTTP client API. And on the phone, you're using a different API. You're actually using the HTTP web request API, right? So this issue is fundamental to the sample. It's one of the reasons why I'm kind of showing this sample is because you have to be able to skirt that lack of API convergence. So really what we have to do is we have to architect our view model in a way that it's platform agnostic. It doesn't care about if it's running on Windows 8 or Windows Phone or Xbox or some other thing that comes up, you know, in 5-10 years, whatever it may be, it needs to just know that it can run without having to worry about what it's running on. So I'm going to switch back before we kind of get into the code and show you a visual representation of what I'm really talking about and how we use MVVM and PCL together. So we have a visualization of the solution I just showed you. But a little bit more visual, a little bit more easy to understand. So on the left, you have the Windows Store application. On the right, you have the Windows Phone application, right? That all makes sense. And they're both referencing the PCL, which is your view model and your model, because that's the code that we want to run on multiple platforms. The view needs to be different because you're on a different form factor. And we saw that with the Huffington Post example. The app looked a lot different. The branding was the same, but the app looked different on Windows 8, used Windows 8 specific controls, and the phone app was different than the Windows 8 app, right? Because it's a different form factor. But they still need to leverage, you know, platform specific functionality. So for example, in my sample, I'm using APIs in Windows 8 that aren't available in Windows Phone 8, and vice versa, because that's how I'm getting the data from Netflix. I'm using these APIs. So the portable class library needs to really be able to have a way of abstracting these platform functionalities. And that's what those gray boxes are at the bottom. And it's really where the power of MVVM comes in, the power of the separation comes in, because we can basically provide, you know, implementations of interfaces that the view model will use to both applications. And so, you know, that's a bit wordy and it doesn't make too much sense, but let's kind of go in and look at concrete code now that kind of shows this pattern in practice. I think it's actually called the Hollywood principle, where, you know, don't call us, we'll call you, because the view model is always going to call the code. The apps will never call into the view model. So let's bring up that sample again. Actually, I'll close this guy down, and we're left with this guy. Okay, so right here we have our new view model that I started to get into, and I'm going to pull it up, and you'll notice that, you know, I still have a observable collection that is exposing titles, and I still have that public property that's exposing the titles. But in my constructor, things have changed. I'm now taking two parameters. I'm taking something called an iGetTitleService and then an iDispatcher, which I'll talk about at the end. So let's focus on this iGetTitleService. Essentially, you can see here that the view model is using iGetTitleService, and it's calling something called getTitles. It's a method or function that's on this object. So let's dive into what iGetTitleService is. Well, it's simply just an interface that defines something called getTitles that is going to basically return a list of titles, right? And now we are using the action, which is essentially a function pointer in C#, to do a callback, okay? So again, the title view model is using an interface called iGetTitleService, and it has one method on it called getTitles that basically is defining a callback that will accept a list of titles. Okay? And everything else, we'll kind of talk about this a little bit later, but really everything else here is the same. It's going to load those titles into the collection, and we'll be good to go. So now we have that platform-specific abstraction, but we need to actually implement that abstraction in each of the applications. It looks like I'm running a little bit short on time. So what I'll do is I'll show you the Windows 8 version quickly. And what I've created is something called a store app service. So the store app service is really just my Windows Store specific functionality. And again, you'll notice that I have this query, but the query is now implementing iGetTitleService. So if you think back to the first sample I showed you on MVVM, it had a query that was called making a call, but that didn't have any platform abstraction to it, didn't implement any interfaces, because it was just for Windows 8. Now we're talking about creating code that is going to be run on both Windows 8 and Windows Phone, so we need to worry about those platform-specific abstractions, and this is how we do it. So our query is implementing the iGetTitleService, and if you can see here that all it really does is, I think it's at the bottom here, it has this method called getTitles that accepts a callback that returns a list of titles. So it's going to do the exact same call that it does normally. It's going to call Netflix, get the information, do some, you know, deserialization and all that goodness. And you can see here it's calling this HTTP client code. And then it's going to actually invoke the callback and pass back the list of titles. And if we go to the view for Windows 8, we'll see here that nothing's really changed, except that I am now creating a new query, which comes from the store app service. And I've made a reference to that right here. Okay? So we have a view model that has defined an interface. We have an application, the Windows Store 8 application, that is implementing that interface. And that allows us to keep the view model platform agnostic. Because the view model wants an interface that has this method, And that's all it cares about. It doesn't care about what platform it's being run on. It just cares about that it has an interface, that it has a reference to something that has implemented that interface. And that's what we've given it. So it's the exact same pattern for the Windows Phone. I create a specific Windows Phone service. I've created the query object. I've implemented this interface. And I've done the phone-specific code. So in this case, I have to use a different API, HTTP web request. And then I invoke the callback and pass back the data. In the view, you'll see here, essentially the same thing. I've created a new query. And that query is coming from our phone service, and I put a reference here to the phone service. And again, if I F12 on this, you'll see that it's the phone service query. And that's how you use MVVM and PCL to share awesome across platforms, which maximize your code reuse. Because you're able to reuse your model and your view model, and really the only thing that has to change is your view. You want to create a unique view. So the last thing I wanted to show you is just one other wrench that kind of gets thrown into the equation here. And that's not anything major, but you'll notice that when I was doing the Windows Phone 8 application, I was passing in something called a phone dispatcher. We're really, in Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8, the way you handle updates is a little bit different. So in Windows 8, any cross-thread execution is handled for you by the platform. So if I'm making a call on a background thread, Windows 8 will handle marshaling that call back to the UI thread. In Windows Phone and Windows Phone 8, that's up to me. I mean, as a developer, I have to do that myself. So I've used the exact same principle. I've created an interface called the dispatcher interface. iDispatch. My view model is going to accept that. So here's the iDispatch. And my view model is going to take that as a parameter in the constructor. And then, really, to show conditional compilation here is kind of a forced example, but to show how you can kind of compile code specific to the phone in your view model or Windows 8 in your view model, I've got this conditional compilation flag here. But essentially what this is saying is that for the phone, you need to invoke that dispatcher yourself. And so when I create the view model, when I'm on the phone application, I pass it the phone service and I pass it the phone dispatcher. And so it goes and it invokes that. And in Windows 8, I don't have to worry about the dispatcher, so I just let it do its own thing, and I call the load title helper. So there are some, tricks to the trade, but really by creating an abstraction, you're able to skirt most of those problems. So with the few minutes I've got remaining, let's quickly talk about the last piece of the MVVM puzzle, and that's the view and how we can kind of reuse the UI, or if we should reuse the UI. Now, you can probably tell by the way I've talked about it and showed you the Huffington Post example and talked about the view that really our recommendation here is that you don't invest your time in sharing your view. To have a great user experience, you want to target... Oh, sorry. You want to target... Let's jump over here. You really want to take advantage of the form factor. And so Windows 8, Windows Phone 8, they have different UI controls. They're similar in markup, but they are different. And you really want to leverage those for your application. Now, with that said, XAML is still XAML. Core controls like grids and stack panels, buttons and checkboxes, hyperlinks, those are the same. So you will be able to kind of copy and paste code from one project to the other project for your view. But really, the recommendation here is that you do focus on having a unique view and taking advantage of that form factor. And so just to quickly recap, because I think we're running out of time, really, what should you share, how to share? As we just mentioned, the view, let's make that platform-specific. There may be some code you can copy and paste between them, but really let's focus on a platform-specific view. Your view is going to leverage the view model. It's going to data bind to your view model and your model, and those are the pieces that you can reuse across platform. You're able to kind of have portable code and common code in those projects that you can reuse. Now, there is another thing that I kind of haven't mentioned that I'll quickly mention here. Portable code is different than common code. They can both be reused across platforms, but they are different. The major difference is that portable code can be compiled on any platform, whereas common code has to be compiled on a specific platform. So in that case, when we're talking about the set of Windows Runtime APIs and Windows Phone Runtime APIs that are common, they are common code, not portable code. meaning you will have to create another project in Visual Studio that is called a shared code project. And you can link. So you'll have one project that links into both, one project that links into both applications. And that code will be compiled for the platform it's running on, but you'll still write that code once. So for example, a concrete example is using the camera API on Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8. It's the exact same API, the same code. Unfortunately, you can't put that code in a PCL. You can put it in a separate project file that you can link to. And I'll just quickly show you how to do that. Let me jump back here. So if I go and I create a new project, let me go back here. If I go and try and add a new project, an existing project, I mean, write down, well, it should be there. Maybe it's a new project. All right, I take that back. Somewhere there is a link, add using a link. Maybe someone online knows what I'm missing, but let me, maybe I need to click on the project before it shows up. No, okay, so it should be there somewhere. There is a drop down that you should show up right here that shows add as link, and you're able to add that code in. I wonder if it's not a project, maybe it's just actual source files. But we'll confirm that after. So anyway, so that is how you share code across platforms using MVVM and PCL. And I know it's a lot to go through in half an hour, and I kind of sped through this. There was a talk, as JR mentioned, on pure imagination, where I've taken a full hour and a bit to kind of go over everything. You'll see a similar code, similar examples, and at a bit slower pace. So hopefully, if you have any questions or anything wasn't too clear, then you can check that recording. Cool?
Okay, awesome.
So actually, a quick question for you that did come up. I'll get rid of this because I was listening to you guys up on the stream. One of the questions was with MVVM. Now you mentioned it's XAML based. You mentioned Silverlight, C Sharp, all that kind of stuff. From a pattern perspective, is that something that can be employed on different platforms, or is it actually just specific to XAML and the way that you would do Windows Phone and Windows 8 apps?
So MVVM is specific to XAML and mainly because of the language features. But there's another pattern called MVC, and I'm sure there are tons of patterns out there that have similar endgame, which is basically to reuse code, to separate your code from your UI, your business logic from your UI. But from my knowledge, MVVM really was created for XAML and C Sharp, XAML and VB, mainly to take advantage off those data binding features.
Cool. And then the other question that had come up was from a compilation perspective, right? So you talked about architecture. Is there a difference in the way that you compile the same code? So you would effectively compile the Windows 8 application separately and the Windows Phone application separately and the PCL project separately, or you could just import the PCL and it'll basically compile when it's compiled in the applications.
Exactly. So PCL can be compiled on any platform and targeted against those target frameworks. So you don't have to worry about really the compilation process. When you're in Visual Studio and you add these projects and hit F5, they'll all just compile down to their right targeted platforms.
So there's nothing to do that. And then
there are no build flags or anything like that you have to do.
Perfect. And then the conditional formatting that you had in there was just basically just to force an example, really.
Exactly. And that whole point was just to say, sometimes you'll get into a situation where your view model needs to do two different things based on the platform it's targeting. Ideally, you want to kind of stay out of that world. So really what I would have done here in my example is I would have just implemented the iDispatcher, the interface in the Windows 8 solution because you have access to the core dispatcher. But to kind of force the example here, I've kind of shown conditional compilation and how you can leverage, those build flags to kind of choose a code path in your view model. But again, this kind of creates code smell because now I've got the view model doing two different things, depending on the platform, which is not ideal.
And when you're talking about binding, what about when you have a service in there? So would the PCL library wrap the service that, let's say, is hosted up in the cloud or whatever, and then that is what is exposed out to the views? Or would a view ever bind itself directly to an actual service?
So the goal is to keep the view as clean of code as possible. And so you kind of saw the view, all it did was really just create a new view model and bind to that view model. If you have a service, it again depends on what APIs you're using. So if they're using common APIs or portable APIs, so .NET APIs that you can leverage, then you can put that in the PCL and get them to run both against Windows 8 and Windows Phone. More than likely, because you're hitting a web service and it could be using a different networking stack or different depending on the platform, you would most likely put that in a phone service or in a store app service, one of those basically use these interface patterns that I talked about to kind of get that separation and be able to leverage that code for the phone or for Windows 8, whatever it was. But more than likely you wouldn't be putting that code in the PCL because it would depend on what platform it was running against.
Cool. So I think, I'm just going to check online here just to see the chat. I think we covered everything that these guys had online. So I think really, and correct me if I'm wrong, if we're going to take one thing away from today in terms of, and I love the title that you gave me, Sharing Awesome. If we're going to take one thing away from what you went through today, obviously, like you said, you went through a lot.
Right.
But it's really, if you think about, similar to how we would think about back in the day about loosely coupling things, right? If I'm not mistaken, the thinking is somewhat the same in that you're thinking, okay, what actually belongs in the view? And that's what I want device specific. And then everything else should actually be specifically doing stuff generically as if I would creating a client app to a web service.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's kind of why I started off with that real world example, showing that, you know, when you think about this MVVM and the PCLs and you put some thought into it and some brain power behind it, you'll come up to the same conclusion that Halogen did for Huffington Post, that they were able to reuse basically all the code they wrote for Windows 8 and just create 18% net new code for the Windows Phone application. And that was primarily just for the view, right? To kind of get that great user experience on the phone. So really, if you create the code the right way, you will obviously hit some hurdles, but hopefully, you know, these patterns and practices will help you kind of skirt some of that, and you'll be able to really reuse a large majority of your code across platforms for both a Windows Store app and a Windows Phone 8 app.
And so the last one on that one is, you'd mentioned they did Windows 8 first and then the Windows Phone, but obviously with the intention of always doing both together.
Definitely.
Now, if I have one or the other, and let's say I didn't necessarily think about doing that at the beginning, is that a bad approach? Like, is it one of those things where, you know, I'll create the one and then just refactor it out to be a PCL afterwards? Is that going to cause a lot of headaches for me?
I don't believe so, but again, it depends on how complex the app is. I don't want to say no for sure because, you know, if it's a non-trivial application and you've got, you know, hundreds of thousands of lines of code, you may come into some additional issues. But if it's, you know, generally some of these apps are pretty standard, they're not the most complex applications, they do one thing really well, that's why they're great consumer apps. So I think, you know, for Halogen and for Huffington Post, that was more of a timing concern for them. They had to get the Windows 8 app out first because we were launching, and then they kind of did the same thing. They thought about it a little bit later and said, okay, well, how do we now take this code base and reuse it? So that's what they did, and they were able to kind of refactor their code and spend some cycles on that. But of course, if you think about it up front, it's definitely going to be a little bit less painful.
Awesome. One last check of online questions, and again, we are good there, so that's awesome. Amnor, thanks so much for joining
us
on the show today. I think for you guys, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think what this kind of talk does, and when we think about these topics, is really just kind of going along those themes that we keep talking about every month in terms of development is getting a lot easier. At the end of the day is what it comes down to. And it used to be beforehand where, you know, we would develop the one and it was, you know, the specific form factor that you're stuck to and a specific type of application that you're stuck to, which, you know, what we're seeing here, in Sharing Awesome, or actually if we think back to the episode where Paul LaBerge was on and we were talking about consistent app experiences, right? It still comes down to the same thing where there's either the patterns or the tooling now in place to actually make us efficient in reusing the same code, but still giving an app experience that is native to that device. You know, so as you're now going to spend the rest of the month, if you will, kind of winding down, hopefully winding down a little bit with work and kind of maybe taking a little bit of time to learn new things, as much as you're always kind of in the mindset of, hey, let's learn a new technology, maybe what you want to do is actually kind of think about learning methodology or learning approaches, then applying the technology after that. So maybe dig deeper into MVVM, as Alnor mentioned, and his session is in fact up on pureimagination.ca or in the Canadian Developer Connection Windows Phone app and Windows Store app, now that I think about it. And dive into that. You heard him say, when you do the thinking ahead of time, it can help. So I'm going to assume you guys are all awesome at what you do, but probably the technical part, you'll pick up a lot faster. So focus maybe on the architectural approaches and seeing how you can actually invest in reusing the code.